This is a very powerful section of scripture. It's very powerful. It's Daniel praying for his city and his church, because in that those days was the same thing. Jerusalem, it was a theocracy, which means it was a government run by God. So you were talking about the nation and also the church itself, and it just went out again. So I'm going to go right to it. This is an illustration of what can happen when people come together, churches come together, to pray for their city. Mizoram, India, where it says 80 to 95% of the population have become born-again believers in the last few years as a result of prayer. Can you imagine that? If you went to the store, you went to work, and 80 to 90% of the people around you were born-again, true believers, how much a difference that would make in our world, right? It says there's no homeless people, no beggars, no starvation, and 100% literacy rate. Almolongo, Guatemala, and we saw this on a DVD, gosh, probably about 6 years ago. The people there were captivated by spirits, evil spirits, and patron saints that they would pray to. There was a lot of drunkenness, violence, widespread poverty, idolatry, and persecution of true believers. The community leaders and the pastors came together and started to pray for this town. And now, 85% of the community are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. There's been a dramatic decrease in crime and drunkenness. In fact, they laid off the policemen, the town cops, because there's no work for them. So now they just have a part-time policeman. They closed up the jail. They don't need a jail anymore. There's no jail in the town, the village anymore. And the crops, we saw this on a DVD. The carrots are this big. And the crops have been, since the prayer, all of a sudden everybody has a bumper crop year after year because they're giving glory and honor to God. Pretty cool. Amen is right. And there it just went off again. This is ridiculous. Okay. The Nigerian town of, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Umofa, it says there are several villages in the area of Nigeria. 5 years ago, there used to be almost no born-again believers who believed in Jesus. There was widespread divination, witchcraft, sorcery, idolatry, and ancestor worship. And it took over, it just completely captivated the town. And as a result, the pastors came together, resolved their differences and their pride, and came together in humility and prayed for the city and prayed for repentance and forgiveness. To the point where now, the overwhelming majority of this clan in Nigeria are born-again believers, including thousands of youth that came to Christ and recently started filling traditional Anglican churches there. All of a sudden, this very traditional Anglican church had throngs of youth going, we want Bible study, we want to know about the Holy Spirit, we want to know about Jesus, we want to praise and worship God. So all these young people turned the church around completely, totally in the town. It's amazing. As a result of people coming together to pray. And there's actually one in here in the United States. Hemet, California, near where Pastor Rick and Robin, I guess, grew up. And they knew about this town real well back in those hippie days, if you know what I mean. Because this town was known to be a place for the cult haven, the Moonies, the Mormons, and it's the Scientology, and Maharishi Yogi had his cult there. It was a center of witchcraft, gang violence, alcoholism, and a lot of illegal drug activity. The churches came together, persevered in united prayer, corporate repentance for the sins of their city, and evangelism. Today, churches are growing, and there are many new conversions. Gang members are getting saved. Church attendance has doubled what it used to be a decade ago. And let's talk about the illegal drug business has dropped by 75%. Cult membership has decreased to 0.3% of the city. And Christians' representation, rather, has increased dramatically in city government, the police, and the public school system. So now they have a lot of believers in their leadership in the government, and they're becoming the salt and the light. Cali, Colombia, you probably heard of them years ago. A lot of drug cartels were centered there. Well, not anymore. There's only a few of them, very little. It says the church is have grown dramatically, crime and violence have fallen, and the social political levels of a community have been transformed by revival of the last 6 years. Kiambu, Kenya, was called the ministry graveyard. It's where churches and pastors went to die. Nobody had any kind of success or growth. It was dead, Deadsville. And it was called, like I said, the ministry graveyard. It was a center of witchcraft, alcoholism, violence, and poverty. But after a decade, it took a while, about 10 years of intercession of the leaders coming together, humbling themselves, deciding to get rid of their differences and agree to focus on Jesus Christ and the inerrant Word of God and His death and resurrection and make that the focal point, and not that their church is bigger than another church, but that they all are in it for the kingdom of God and they wanted people to know Jesus, whatever church they went to, as long as they were hearing God's inerrant Word. Well, this took off, and it was an amazing, they said, basically what happened was the economy took off and started to grow, and they had the lowest crime rates in the area. Rape and murder were virtually unheard of, whereas before it was an epidemic. In Vitória de Conquista in Brazil, talks about that was a Baha'i movement there. 6 years ago, the city was oppressed with extreme poverty, violence, and corruption. Churches came together, decided to get over their differences and focus on Jesus Christ and the totally the Word of God. And as a result, it took off. The conversion rate took the skyrocket. The crime rate dropped dramatically, and the city elected a born-again mayor, and the city's economy rebounded. In Argentina, St. Nicholas, Argentina, used to be an economically depressed community with, it says, with much division among the churches and the pastors. Some liberal pastors didn't preach God's word, some others that were real rigid, and then there became a move of focusing on the cross of Jesus Christ, His inerrant Word of God without apology, saying this is the Word of the Lord, and preaching things that weren't popular to the people, but were in God's Word. As a result, preaching Christ, here, get this, okay? It says the people came together and prayed. The mayor created space in the government city hall for pastors to pray for the city. So they had a prayer room for pastors in a government facility. We wish that happened here, right? The city's TV station invites pastors to come in for live talk shows and pray for the city at the TV expense. Unbelievable. There was another town, by the way, where they had a Christian section in the newspaper, big section about Christianity, and they had billboards all over the place in the city, and it just was amazing. Having said all that, God is, He listens to our prayers, right? He really does. He listens to prayer. Prayer doesn't make a difference. But what they found out, and what we found out, and we go to the jails, we find this out very well there, you have to be desperate. Desperate for God, and united that Jesus is the Savior, that He was born of a virgin, that He died on the cross, that He rose again from the dead, He ascended on high, and that the Bible is the Word of God, and we don't just take the things we like and say, well, this didn't really happen, and we don't believe this anymore, we don't believe that. Taking God at His Word, in the Word of God, in the Bible, and also in our prayers, and trusting Him, and amazing things happen. So the theme of my message, and I don't know where the frog is coming from, but anyway, the theme is, because of what's happened in our nation this past week, Lord, have mercy. What Daniel prayed for, he was not just praying for his own sin. Some of the things that he talked about here were not sins he committed. He listened to the prophets. He read the prophets. But later on he says, we have not listened to your prophets. It's called corporate repentance or identificational repentance, where you pray for a specific group and you come in and it's as if you take on the sins of that people because you love them so much, and you come before God to represent them and intercede for them, and you take on their sin and you ask God to forgive, and you ask for repentance even though maybe you didn't do it. That's quite a humble act, isn't it? To be willing to humble ourselves, to fast and pray, and identify ourselves with these people, even though we didn't commit all these things, and saying, God, have mercy on us. We have failed. It's very powerful, and it opens up the ears to God when he hears a prayer like that from a just, righteous person humbling themselves to pray for others. We can get so busy in our country just praying for me, myself, and I, us four, no more, and our family, and that's it, you know, and not go beyond that. But God listens to the prayers where people stand in the gap for others. In fact, in, I think it was in Ezekiel, it talks about that God was looking and listening for somebody to stand in the gap. And he waited and waited and waited, and nobody ever did. Nobody cared for anybody else, didn't hear any prayers for other people. Here, we have a prayer where basically Daniel says, Lord, have mercy. And what happened in Las Vegas, just what, 270 miles from here? Doesn't that make you say, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on our world. Have mercy on our country, Lord. What is going on, Lord? We cry out to you. No one seems to have the answers. Only you do, right? I was talking to my supervisor last Monday, and usually she is like Mama Bear to all of us. She's always watching out for us and taking care of us and just helping us. She's a great supervisor. But this was a little different this Monday, and I had my individual supervision where I go through all my families with her and staff about what we need to do and all the different crises that they're going through and how we can best help them. And she wasn't the same. I said, what's going on here? She says, I'm just not myself today. And because she's a big country western fan, and she almost went to Las Vegas, and all those performers, she's seen a lot of them, she's seen in person. And so she identified with the people that were there because she's one of them. She's a fan of country western music and has been to Las Vegas and knows the area very well. And she says, I just can't figure out what's going on in our country. And she's from Nebraska originally, so a Midwestern girl, seeing all this stuff going on and unimaginable horror and despicable violence, going, what is going on? And so again, another reason to say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And so it's a very timely prayer that we talk about this today. And let's go to it. We got a lot here to look at. We won't do every single verse, but in Daniel 9:1 talks about the fact that in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, he was made ruler. And in the first year of his reign, Daniel said, I understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet. Notice he's reading God's word, he's in God's word. And those of you go Wednesday night, you've been reading Jeremiah for quite some time. Finally finished it, right? But anyway, right? You finished Jeremiah a few weeks ago. But it was a long time, running like 50-some chapters. Jeremiah kept hammering away at the people, please turn from your sin. Please, I'm praying for you. And he's thrown into a stinky cistern and was mistreated because he was trying to get the people to turn around. And they said, well, you're not a very good pastor, Jeremiah. We don't hear what we want to hear. And there are false teachers going, oh, just have peace and unity at any cost. It doesn't matter what you believe. This isn't really God's word. God didn't mean that. And he's not against this or against that. And they were the ones that were being touted as the true pastors. And here you have the true prophet, Jeremiah, saying this is the truth of God's word, and we need to look at it. And so Daniel was reading all this. And then he says, I turned to the Lord, because he read in the prophets that Jerusalem was going to be devastated and was going to fall. There would be a desolation of Jerusalem that would last for 70 years. 70 years. And there would be the Babylonian captivity where people leave their home, be forced to go to Babylon, which is what we talked about. So what was the result of Daniel? Did he just say, well, give up, forget that then. If that's the way you're going to be, God, I'm not going to follow you. For 70 years you're going to destroy us? Well, then I'll just come back in 70 years. Not. People do that. Say, well, God didn't hear my prayer. I'm not going back to church. Or he didn't do this for me. He didn't do that for me. When he's done so much for us, right? And he's still merciful. So Daniel didn't have that kind of response to this promised disaster upon his homeland. Instead, in verse 3, what did he do? So, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. There's something very powerful that happens, not just when we pray, but when we pray and fast. Fasting is very powerful. I don't like doing it first. I hate it. but there's something very beneficial when I have been in prayer and fasting. It's like, oh my goodness, it's just my senses are heightened to the presence of God like never before, and it is very powerful, and I see even more answers to prayer. It is a very powerful thing to combine prayer and fasting. Jesus did it, the apostles did it, and here Daniel did it. Now, here's a model prayer that talks about basically Daniel adoring and praising God, confessing the sins of the people, agreeing with God, and asking God to come to their aid. So it says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Real quick, confession is good for the soul, right? We talk about that. When we confess to someone, or just to God through Jesus, don't you feel better when you confess instead of keeping it all in? When we keep it all in, it's not good because God knows already. It's not like we're hiding from God. Oh, God won't see me. When we come clean, when we confess, there's this relief and this assurance that Jesus paid for all of our sins. There's no sin He cannot forgive. And thanks be to God for the amazing grace we have in Jesus, right? And we'll talk about that. He forgives us, and there's no sin so great that He can't forgive. Right? I think we ought to thank Him for that, don't you? We should thank Him for that. Amazing grace. How great Thou art, we sing. Right? And that's what Daniel says. He says, O Lord, the great and awesome God. We sing, our God is an awesome God. What's so awesome about God? Okay. What are some of those everythings? Huh? Okay. But just give me some specific people. His forgiveness. His love. His peace. Jesus, what? His passion. Amen. Everything we see is created by everything. The Spirit. Beautiful sunset last night. Did you see that sunset? Oh, man. He created that. Yes. Yes. Eternal life. But we're going to go to heaven someday? Thank you. Oh, man. That's beyond belief, almost. It's just incredible, and it's so intense, the joy and the peace we'll feel there in heaven. Yes. And even what we have right now, we have eternal life right now, and we have little appetizers of God's presence just filling us with His glory and His glorious presence that's incomparable to anything else. All these good things, that's why we say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. He's a great God, a good God. But what about when things are not going so well? Is He still a good God? Okay. Yeah, and it's hard. And sometimes we don't know why things are happening, what we're going through. But God is good, as we say, all the time. All the time. God is good, right? He is, and thanks be to God. So Daniel starts his prayer saying, the great and awesome God who keeps the covenant of His love with all who love Him and obey His commands. We have sinned and done wrong. He's confessing his own sin, but again, also the sin of the people. We have been wicked. Daniel has not been wicked. He says, we've been wicked. So there's something very powerful when we identify with the people we are living with and serving and saying, Lord, we've really messed up here in Glendale, Maryvale, Phoenix, Arizona, United States. We have sinned. We have done wicked things. To the point where I saw a billboard the other day of a Broadway show that's titled Wicked. Well, go see this show, which the theme is wickedness. I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it's a play on word, but isn't that what our world's gone to? Oh, wicked. Oh, good. I have a show entitled Lucifer about the devil, about Satan. I don't want to watch a show about Satan who's trying to kill us and steal our life and our hope of heaven. I could care less about a show about him. And so he's identifying, Daniel is, with the wickedness of his people and saying, God, we have been wicked. We have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and your laws. We've not listened to your servants, the prophets. He listened to them. But as in general, most people didn't. It's like, yeah, I don't want to hear that. Let's just love you. Let's just be tolerant of one another. I don't want to hear about sin. He says, we have not listened to your servants. The prophets have spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers. He's praying for the politicians because the politicians didn't hear from God either. Do we need to pray for a politician today? Yep. He says, Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness in you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. See what he's doing? He's identifying with his people, saying, we have really messed it. And we've ruined our country, we've ruined our town, we've ruined our cities, and Lord, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So he's being real honest and open with God, isn't he? And God listens to that cry of humility and confession. The Lord our God is merciful, there's good news, and he's forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. Has our country sinned against God? Oh, yeah. How about our area? Have we sinned against God, Glendale and Maryvale and Phoenix? Yes, we have sinned. Yep. The churches are in on it too. And that's why all those communities that I've read from my phone, what was the key? Getting the church leaders to come together in faith and trusting God and Jesus and the Word of God and coming together, not in a false unity. Because some people say, oh, let's just be tolerant, let's get together. No, no, no. You've got to have the same faith and believe in God's Word. And then you come together, there's unity and a belief that this is the Word of the Lord. And Holy Spirit, yes, 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 yes. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. So they had disaster too. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. So all this disaster is going, you think by then people go, and some people do in the middle of disaster, they cry out to God, at least for a while, right? Everybody comes religious, wants to go to church. After 9/11, we had 5 worship services in our church in Ahwatukee in probably about 7 or 8 days, that first week of 9/11, way back there in 2001. And our churches were packed, I was on TV and all this kind of stuff, but how long did that last? About a month, a little over a month. And then went right back to normal, or whatever. Attendance was back the way it was before. And all the people, and I would too get used to, were going to church, they got busy again, went back to their normal routine, and then became, and that happens a lot. Everybody gets all upset. CNN, Fox News are all on the scene, and we're all worried about them, and then we forget about them after a few weeks. We go to some other thing that has their fancy, and then, oh, those people, well, whatever happened to them? Whatever happened? How are they doing there in Houston now? How are they doing in Florida? How are they doing in Puerto Rico? You know, because it's no longer on the front page anymore. But in God's eyes, it's on the front page because God cares. And he's listening for his people to see if they care as well and will not only pray but do something for people who are hurting. But it says, the Lord did not hesitate to bring this disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. And it talks about the fact that in the past, You brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, in verse 15, and you made for yourself a name that endures to this day. We have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins, get this, our sins and the iniquities, or wickedness, of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to those around us. Think about the people making fun of the Christian church. A lot of people, right? Why do they make fun of the church? Why do they not believe a lot of times what's going on in the church or what we have to say? Why do they turn us off a lot of times? They don't understand? They don't want to understand? Yeah, exactly. They want to do what they want. They don't want to change. But also, they've had examples of phonies and hypocrites. Christian businesses that try to steal people. Pastor Rick just talked about the other day. He thought he was talking to a Christian and working with a deal on something, and the guy was lying to him, you know, in the name of Jesus. So people start accumulating these bad experiences with church people, and what happens to God's reputation? God's reputation is on the line, and it goes downhill. We are called to represent, to represent Jesus obviously in a positive way, to people around us. We're called to be a positive witness, not a negative witness. Say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it. They're just as bad as I am, or worse. And we simply mentioned about the churches, you know, have not doing what God called them to do and to be. So this is a strong word, but it's needed for our nation. If we're going to pray for our nation, we have to be honest with God and not just say, well, God, everything's great. We're the favored nation, and we're still the great, and no, nothing wrong with us because we are the United States of America. And then we are grateful for this nation, for sure. We are blessed more than any other nation, but there's still things that need to be cleaned up in our country, morally and spiritually, right? Amen. Okay, now, O Lord, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. You know what prayers are? Petitions are requests. So if you sign a petition, there for a while when I go to the library, it seemed like there was five or six or ten people asking people to sign petitions every time I go to the library. Okay, I signed it. Leave me alone. Okay, I really don't care about your cause. I don't believe in your cause. And if I do, I'll come over and sign it. But they're just blocking and just bugging people right at the doorway. Will you sign this petition? Sign that petition. Well, these are petitions where we request God's help. We ask God, we petition Him, Lord, I need your help. Instead of writing our name on a written petition, we're crying out to God that He would do what only He can do. It says, for your sake, O Lord, look with favor upon your desolate sanctuary. By the way, I just started noticing the last few weeks how many churches are closed down and have been turned into restaurants, law offices, business offices. Like, you can tell it was a church at one point, right? And not anymore. I never saw that years and years ago, closed down churches. You see them all over the place. And some huge churches that have been closed down with pastors who were on TV at one point, and now they had to sell the assets, and how sad is that? So here also, Daniel's praying for the desolate sanctuaries, or run-down churches. That's even sadder. They're just sitting there run-down, no one's taking care of them. If there is a mini-revival going on, there are answers to prayer, and you're right about that. In fact, there's a bunch of churches called Redemption Churches. They took over one of our sister congregations on Indian School, and it just turned it around completely, where they come in and they just revitalize the community with a new, fresh vision of God. And they don't come in with all the traditions. In fact, they would sometimes just change everything. But then they say, this is what we're trying to reach, is the unchurched. We're not here for the church people. We're not here for the traditionalists. We're here for people who don't know Jesus Christ, and meeting people who are the poor, that are the alcoholics, drug addicts, and meeting them where they are, right where they're at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. And there's that balance of not just having unity for the sake of unity, but saying this is the word of the Lord in every single word, not backing down, but also loving people to Christ, not driving them to Christ, not haranguing them or annoying them to Christ. We are supposed to be light and love and joy and peace, and they hopefully see something on our faces and see something in our lives that they want. We're supposed to be a walking advertisement and an appetizer for Jesus. Like, wow, that makes me want more. All right. Okay, so it says, give ear, O God, and hear, and hear. Open your eyes and see. So he's asking God to listen and open his eyes. Not that he's blind, not that he's deaf, but just he's calling out to God, listen. But you know, I've noticed, I remember when I became a parent, I didn't sleep so well anymore at night. Right? And it hasn't changed yet. Because you wait for that phone call or that cry, that call out, or when they get old enough, they go on dates. Just wait when that happens in your family, Nadine. When they go out on dates and you think, oh, I'll just go to sleep. No, it doesn't work that way. And then if our kids are little, was the baby up? No. Are they okay? And so you rush over to them. Right, or, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember doing that. Oh, no, now they're awake. And my wife kind of goes, now look what you've done. Great, thanks for your help. But that's the way God is. He's listening for the cries of His people who are desperate and hungry and want God to intervene, they're searching for God. One pastor called the God chasers, chasing after God. Not religion, you got it? We don't These people are not hungry for religion. They're hungry for a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ day in and day out, and it makes everything different for their lives. Everything. Totally different. And there's a change in them. And they just, it's like they get all excited and all pumped up for Jesus, right? So he's saying, give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see. Sometimes we dads can be oblivious to things right in front of us. I know I could be so focused on the church years ago that one of my kids would go, Dad, I need to talk to you. Dad, they're pulling my pant leg. Dad, what? What? Dad. Oh, man, what? And then I really wouldn't listen. Dad, you're not listening. Yes, I'm listening. But God's always listening. And Daniel's crying out that God would hear the cries of his people. And God certainly does, even if it doesn't feel like it. So he's calling out, says, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We did not make a request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Right? It's because of God. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake. O my God, do not delay because your city and your people bear your name. So he's saying, it's not because of us, it's because of you, Lord. And earlier, I forgot to mention that it talks about crying out to God, the fact that David called out and he called for God to turn his face toward them. And when God turns his face toward us, it's like in our prayer for the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. And when God makes his face shine upon you, he's turning and looking right at you. And all that glory that's in God and in Jesus comes to you, is shining on you, and his light is incredible. And one of the words in Hebrew for intercessory prayer is pagah, which means a face-to-face encounter with God. And a good thing, with his glory and his goodness, and being face-to-face with God. And it's also used in a different way of the result of lightning hitting a tree, and the impact of that lightning upon that tree. That's the impact of having God's face turned to us with his light and coming upon us in a positive way, not a negative thing, and having an impact on our lives. So that's what Daniel's praying for. And with all that's happened in our world and in our nation and in our state and in Glendale and Maryvale, we want to pray for revival, that Maryvale has an economic boon right here, and that things start happening for people, that their lives are turned around economically, financially, socially, spiritually, emotionally, educationally, relationally, that there'd be a huge revival of families coming back together, of young people coming to Christ and giving up gang life. And so many glamorized gangs. But rather, why don't we glamorize Jesus and look to him, have kids that are on fire for Jesus, that are praying for miracles, that are helping with communion. And that's where we want to see God work. In our area, in our city, when we sing in that one song, you're the God of the city, right? You're the God of the city. And we pray that God is the God of the city and that he becomes Lord of our town. And Glendale was started by, I believe, a lot of Christians years and years ago. And it was hoped to be a place of peacefulness of the Glen, which is like pasture land and the Dale, the hills and so forth, and have a place of peace where people could come and raise their families and have their farms years and years ago and have a place where it would be a good place to raise families. And we want that again for Glendale. But it takes God. This is not some social improvement program. It's a spiritual program, right? Well, we want God and revival and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come in a powerful way and just change everything. If he can do it in all those towns we talked about earlier, can he do it here? We just need to believe. We need to pray. We need to dedicate our lives to Christ. And we need to pray for this nation and this world. And I think now I've talked enough. And I think we need to do what we've talked about and pray. Will we pray? Lord, we pray for our nation, especially this past week. We do cry out, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on our nation, Lord. Have mercy on the people of Las Vegas. Be with all those that have been impacted by disasters, hurricanes in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands and the earthquakes in Mexico and on and on. So many suffering people. But Lord, we know that we as a nation have turned our backs on you. We as a city and communities around here, we've not stood together. We've not stood up for you, Jesus. We've not stood up for your word and proclaimed your word in all the churches without teaching and preaching the Bible without error and preaching the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God without apology, but also coming together and uniting and not looking for what's in it for me or for our church or our families. Lord, we bow before you and we say that we as a nation in this state, we have sinned and we have been wicked and we have turned from you. We've been immoral, selfish, prideful, arrogant, self-seeking, pleasure-seeking, wicked, unrighteous, unholy, dirty, filthy people. And we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we are grateful. The good news is that as we turn to you and confess our sins, you forgive us and cleanse us because of Jesus. You say in your word, Lord, if we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it. There's no sin so great that you can't wash away by your blood. And we thank you, Jesus. We ask that you would forgive us, that you would turn your ear, turn your eye, turn your heart to this city, Lord, and to our nation. And God, we cry out, please, God, bless America. Lord, in your mercy. And now, Lord, we come before you with other prayers we might have, either silently or out loud. Lord, I pray for my mom, who's still in hospice. Lord, I pray for my daughter, who was in the ER, had a seizure this past week, and she's afraid she may lose her job tomorrow because of the time off. I ask that you would have mercy on her, that her job would still be there for her tomorrow, and that she'd be healthy. And her fiancé recently had lung surgery as well. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we come before you. We ask that you be with Pastor Rick and Robin as our Shepherd of the Hills today. We thank you for the partnerships that we have with so many churches that help us, that help us keep our doors open, that support us. And we ask that you be with those churches as well, that all of us would pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, with all that's going on in our world, it's even more important for us to also pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us, for Lord, our families, our churches, our church property, everything we have and everything we are. Lord, we pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one, Lord. Let your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe have no, zero power over us and our families. We pray for those in the jails that come from the jails, Lord, that you keep them on the right path, that you would give them encouragement and hope, and that you would point them to the path of light in you, Jesus, and of righteousness, and a purpose, and a destiny that you give us, that you give them. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.